time to have a talk with one of our favorite people, nationally known child psychologist, Dr. Anthony Rao, on the phone with us as we head through month number four of this pandemic. Good morning, Dr. Rao.
Good morning, Janet and Nick. How are you two doing?
How was your vacation?
It was nice. It was brief. It was Cape Cod with a mask on most everywhere you went. Very strange, but what little you can grab, grab it. That's what I say.
Wait, I heard that there were great white sharks near Cape Cod. Did you see one?
No, but there have been last several years, and, you know, wherever the seals go, just look at them. Don't join them. That's the trick.
Exactly.
Wait, when you see a seal in the water,
yeah,
you don't
wanna swim with them. Okay. No, because there's something coming for them.
Yeah. That's dun, right. That's dun, what dun, they dun, feed dun. Off of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, after this pandemic, I feel like we all look a little tastier. A little more of us, maybe, perhaps.
So
let's talk about the mindset today. I know you wanted to bring up doom scrolling, and I love that. That's a term that refers to the tendency we all have to want to continue to surf or scroll through bad news. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and it's not our fault. I mean, these sites and these graphics and social media, it's irresistible. So, and they're all tied to one another, and they're like little nuggets that are bite sized. So you just go one, like bags of potato chips lined up for you. But what's happening is that you're bringing into your brain all of this sad and scary stuff that normally you wouldn't be putting in at that rate or in this way. And what's worse is it's not really happening and you have a way to avoid it or change something that's coming at you. You just sit there passively and it's just getting in and it's mounting. So, you know, it really is a self-inflicting thing to do, and yet we all do it. And I just tell people, you know, put the phone into lockdown too. Like, mm-hmm. Get it, and you have to shut it off. If you don't shut it literally off certain times of the day and move it off of your body or out of your eyesight, the brain signals to go back to it. Before you know it, oh, I'm bored, and boom, your brain is cueing you back and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm. One of my girlfriends listens to you religiously on Fridays and loves the advice that you give. And she wanted me to ask a question, and I can totally relate. And I think a lot of people can. She wanted to know, and she's happy person, you know, everybody has their good days and bads. But she wanted to know, why is it during this pandemic, it feels like sometimes, like she's having more pronounced bad days in her life when she's just, and nothing specifically going on, but it just feels like a really bad day versus other times when you just kind of be in a blah mood. But she feels like that's more pronounced. Could that be possible because of what we're going through?
Oh, yeah. And I hope she's listening. If not, tell her. That's completely normal. It actually means the system of her mind is healthy, balanced, and working right, because we are going through what's going to be a long tunnel, a maybe not just marathon, a triathletic event perhaps. Like, this is a long-term situation here, and we're just not used to that. And so the brain is adapting. We're getting a lot more resilient, but you've got to increase your bandwidth, your acceptance for, hey, I am going to have this day. Oh, that's my Tuesday. This is going to be like this. Or those mornings, you factor them in, you say, that was interesting, and then when it starts to lift, move on and let it pass. You're recalibrating the emotional bandwidth of all your emotions with a lot less moments of happiness, a lot more moments of fear, anxiety, or sadness and loss, because we all have, even if we're fortunate and we're safe and healthy, we've all lost certain things.
I want to ask about the child angle of things, because I know you work as a child psychologist. I've got a child who was Googling, when will coronavirus end? Because the child knows that you can't do a lot of stuff. And it was, to me, it was incredibly sad. I'm like, oh my gosh, this kid wants to know when this thing will end. We can't answer that. But kid was hoping that Google could. Google did not have a good answer. So how do you sort of manage a kid's expectations of being able to give them the answers that a parent wants to? Like, I want to be able to tell her, it'll end on this date. Here we are 4 months in. How do we answer that?
You know, Nick, for so long you were able to say to your kids, well, just, you know, we'll be there in a few more minutes. You mm-hmm. know, the ride is long. Or, you know, the holiday's coming, or the birthday. Like, you could do that. And with this, you know, we don't think that's happening. And children, particularly if they're younger, really have a hard time seeing much beyond a few hours, a day or two, maybe a week. Mm-hmm. The older kids get, you can plot it out, you know, and it just seems even worse for them and harder because they're older and they understand that, but time is so much different for them. But I think you picked it up. You got the empathy. You completely understood what, you know, your child's going through. You feel that sadness, and you can verbalize it for them, you know. And it's okay to say, you know, honey, I just don't know. And what do we do when we just don't know? Sometimes we look for answers. Sometimes we shrug our shoulders. You know, sometimes we try to do something that makes us feel better. But I don't know, do you have any ideas? The older the kids are, you can even put it on them a little bit and just saying, well, sometimes I don't know things. What do you think? And before you know it, you're having a dialogue and you're empathizing. And I think that might be all they needed at that moment.
What about parents who are concerned because, you know, their kids were going to school and maybe didn't have a lot of friends, and now they've become even more isolated and withdrawn? Any advice?
Isolation is one of the, you know, biggest factors behind a lot of problems that we see in all of us, you know, kids especially. You know, some kids are faring okay with that. They were a little bit more introverted types of kids, and the pressure is off to have to be in a social situation as much or to make new friends and fit in. But it is important parents find whatever they can near where they are and begin to bring other kids in safe ways, find other families that seem to be safe like you, that have the same level of comfort with how you handle being together, social distancing, whatever. A few buddies that you can just really spend time with are going to be safe versus trying to then wait for opportunities to try to be with lots and lots and lots of kids, like in team sports and things like that. In terms of just playing the numbers of exposure, you know, find a few. And we do this as adults, a couple of couples or people that we're close with. Break down those barriers. It's okay. We're human. But just have a few of them and rely on them.
Good advice. Any parting thoughts as we head into another weekend?
Just claim whatever small part of this world you can. If you have a little patch of lawn, you know, dig up the weeds, okay, the brown grass, put a little something in there. Just do small things, preferably outdoors, have small spaces, think smaller rather than larger and exploring and getting out there again. It's a new world.
I found a lot of good feelings when I just do a little, give me a little taste of normal. Give me like one little outing I can do that's just like, I just want a little sample of kind
something.
Of what is familiar to me. It doesn't have to be all weekend. So if you're getting together with friends, you're right, have less, you know, a small group and socially distanced, but at least I need a little taste of normal. And you're right, claim your little space or find that one little thing you can do to give you a little joy through what is still, what are we, 4 months now into this thing. That's right. It's becoming long.
It's so funny that you brought up today and you wanted to talk about doom scrolling, because literally when I talked to Jeff this morning, I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I was doing emails and then I started reading about the Wuhan, and there's like the, everybody thinks that the stuff was released and there's this whole conspiracy theory. And I think that would go under doom scrolling. I'm guessing maybe. So
yeah, strange thing. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it occurred to me that I was talking with somebody the other day about this, that everything that gets into your brain, even if you know, oh, come on, this isn't real, or it's probably a conspiracy theory, your brain for a moment, this is what the research shows, has to consider it as truth before you then take time to disprove it. Yeah. And with doom scrolling, it's so fast, it just, you don't have time to critically think. So it's like, could be bad, could be bad, could be bad, over and over again.
It's just unprecedented times, that's for sure. We always love talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Wow. You guys take care.
Okay. It is The Power of Agency that Dr. Anthony Rao is a book that he has written. It is available. Dr. Rao, nationally known child psychologist, always have a good takeaway from him. We appreciate his time.